Today's episode of the Locked On Eagles podcast is sponsored by Built Bar, a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Head over to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code Locked On to get $10 off your first order. Now on with the show. Welcome in, Eagles fans, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase here joining you on this late night Thursday edition of the show. If you missed yesterday's podcast, which we were really locked on DeSean Jackson and talking about his impact in year two of the second stint with the Eagles and just how valuable he is, not only on the field this year, and it is extremely valuable to have number 10 back on this team. Healthy. It's going to do wonders for this offense. And me and Gino got deep into that, how the Eagles are going to use him in 2020 and the impact he'll have on, you know, his teammates, including quarterback Carson Wentz, but also his impact on guys like Jalen Reagor and John Hightower and Quez Watkins, these young deep threat like receivers, and how DeSean Jackson, who to me is the greatest deep threat of all time, can teach those guys and really bring them along as a veteran leader. And of course, he's an incredible role model, and he's been one of the most vocal leaders on this team in the community right now, fighting this racial injustice that police officers have been causing in this country for a very long time. So yesterday, me and Gino, we really got deep into DeSean Jackson on the podcast. And if you missed that episode, you can subscribe on any podcast platform or on LockedOnEagles.com. Coming up on today's edition of the show, I want to talk about Carson Wentz again, and this time more so on the field. On Friday, we talked about how he's really evolved as a leader, and he, again, has continued to do that, you know, speaking out against this injustice and, you know, in favor, in support of these protests. Our brothers and sisters out there across the country in all 50 states right now that are fighting this fight. And he tweeted out, you know, good stuff again today about it. And see Drew Brees, see Jake Fromm, it's really that easy. But that's why I'm really glad that Carson Wentz is the Philadelphia Eagles leader and their quarterback. Today I want to get into the things he did really, really well in 2019, which is still one of the most impressive seasons to me, not just a quarterback has ever pulled off, but any player in sports, what Carson Wentz was able to do with that team in those circumstances, one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in sports personally. But I also want to get into today what he can get better at next year, because while I do think he's an elite quarterback that's, if not top five in the league right now, I think he's certainly top seven. I don't even want to say top 10 because I think he's more than top 10. I think he's closer to the top five than he is top 10. But there are still some things that I think he could get worked on a little bit more to get back to that 2017 form. And I think to get back to that 2017 form, I mean, he's not that far off from where he was in 2019. I think just health of his roster around him and less distractions off the field alone will probably get him there. Again, because what he did, I mean, to take a team with that many injuries, that much adversity to the playoffs after being in a 5-7 hole, I mean, that is elite stuff. But I do think himself with his game, in year five, there are still a couple things that if he can get cleaned up or if he can improve on or get back to what he was doing in 2017, I think he can make that jump into, I mean, again, I feel almost bad saying make that jump because I think he's already there. But if there's a couple things cleaned up with Carson Wentz's game, there's almost no flaws. And I want to get into that coming up in today's edition of Locked On Eagles. But yeah, again, like 2019, I mean, with the distraction, more sources talking bad about him early in the year, injuries across the entire receiving core, and even before the injuries, regression in the play of Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar, drop balls that would have won them football games, just, you know, all the wrong negative narratives around this guy continued to form over the past 4 years, and I just don't understand why that continues to happen outside of, you know, for clickbait, because, you know, national media know it's an easy fix to get some more traffic coming in because they can piss off a lot of the Philadelphia Eagles fans, or they can appeal to that really small market of full stands that still lurk across the shadows of Eagles Twitter. But I personally think last year, again, I'm going to talk about things he can improve on this year because you can always get better as a player. But I think last year, going four straight wins in December, although it was against the entire NFC East, to do that with a practice squad-like offense, And injuries, again, all across the defense all year as well. To do that when, after that Miami game, it seemed all over, like that Eagles team seemed like they gave up and they were dead in the water, for Wentz to basically say, get on my back and we're going to the playoffs. For him to do that, he confirmed his status as an elite quarterback in the NFL. There are not a lot of quarterbacks that could, with Greg Ward, an injured JJ and a bad JJ Arcega-Whiteside, a Robert Davis and a Deontay Burnett at receiver. Yeah, you had Miles Sanders, but Zach Ertz breaks his ribs, right? You have Dallas Goedert, and then, you know, you're using Boston Scott, who came off the practice squad, and Joshua Perkins. How many quarterbacks would have won four straight games against anybody with that offense, with that defense, playing as inconsistently as they were? How many quarterbacks will that team to the playoffs? How many quarterbacks do you win because of in those circumstances? Maybe four or five, right? Only a handful of players. It's incredible. The dude had an 81.3% completion percentage in tight window throws last year. And really, that's all he had were, right, like tight window throws. How much separation were those receivers? And, you know, the tight ends were creating separation, but how often was a Robert Davis or a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside creating separation, or even Nelson Agholor or Alshon Jeffrey? Not that much. So for that dude, all he really had was tight window throws, and he completed 81.3% of them. So that, by the way, a tight window throw is categorized by Next Gen Stats as a throw that has a receiver targeted with less than a yard of separation from the receiver and the defensive back in coverage. I mean, that's incredible. The guy also in tight window throws last year was number one in passing yards, number one in passer rating, and number one in conversion percentage. I mean, last year you won because of Carson Wentz. And that's why I hate, I don't know, man, like when we talk about contracts, right, and paying quarterbacks a ton of money. I get most quarterbacks that are up for a new deal are going to get that next like top dollar in the market. But to me, that doesn't mean you pay every quarterback. Like a Jared Goff isn't doing that with what Wentz had last year. Kirk Cousins isn't doing that. Dak Prescott isn't doing that. He couldn't beat that Eagles team to win the division week 16 with a loaded roster on both sides of the football. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's not doing that. Carson Wentz is a player that, regardless of what is around him on both sides of the football and the coaching staff, is going to keep you in every single football game. He was worth every penny that they paid him last year. And he showed too. I mean, again, I talked about a lot of those false negative narratives that have formed around this player over 4 years. One of them was that he wasn't clutch. And I thought last year that was put to rest, right? In December, he became one of six quarterbacks to have 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns in the month of December. I mean, that's clutch. And he was clutch all year. He led the NFL in comeback wins, trailing by eight or more with three. And you would have had two more if Nelson Agholor doesn't drop a pass against Atlanta. And then the next week, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside drops a pass against the Detroit Lions. And we can't forget about that New England Patriots game either. Wentz on fourth and long, kind of similarly to the Falcons game where he throws up a prayer to Nelson Agholor and he puts it on the money. He did the same thing against New England late in that football game to try to force overtime. He hits Agholor on the numbers in the back of the end zone, and Agholor does not know how to track a football or adjust his body, so he's in this weird pretzel and he drops the football. So that's like three other wins he could have had in serious clutch moments. And I think although he has not played in a playoff game yet outside of a couple minutes in the first quarter against Seattle last year, seeing him, and yes, again, it was against the NFC East inferior opponents for the most part, although I think the Dallas Cowboys, like that's a huge win week 16 that counts in a playoff-like atmosphere. Although he has not played in the playoffs, I think last year what he did down the stretch, and even in big moments like tight situations in the beginning of the season, what he did shows to me that he does have what it takes in the playoff-like moments. You know, go back to 2018. If it had to be Carson Wentz instead of Nick Foles to lead that team down the field in the fourth quarter at Soldier Field on the road, you know, against the number one defense in the NFL, I think Wentz last year showed that that moment isn't too big for him. Some players, that moment is too big for them. I mentioned Kirk Cousins already. Kirk Cousins is not built for that moment. But Carson Wentz, I think, also can improve on some areas. I do think that in 2019, there were a couple things that he needs to get cleaned up that did hurt this football team. Or maybe, you know, in some areas it didn't hurt them, but it certainly didn't help them reach the ceiling that they could have gotten to. And it's, I think it's minor tweaks for the most part. And mostly what needs to get done by this team has already been done personnel-wise, and they just need to stay healthy for Wentz to get to an MVP-like candidate. But there are some things in his game, watching his film this morning through a lot of the games in 2019, I picked out a few where he struggled to kind of get a sense of when he did struggle, why was that the case? And I'm going to get into that coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, once again, we want to give a shout out to our sponsors at Built Bar. Head over to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You'll get $10 off your first order of one of 20 awesome flavors, or if you go with the variety pack. My favorite flavor, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I like to go with the orange vanilla. My brother, who's the host of Locked On Sabres, has been trying out some Built Bars as well. He's a big cookies and cream guy, but it's an awesome, healthy alternative snack. 20 awesome flavors and 20 grams of protein. And they also have the Built Boost energy mixes, which as an overnight radio host, I am a really big fan of. My favorite flavor is probably black cherry lemonade. Incredible. Honestly, it tastes like you're drinking simply lemonade. It just tastes like a, you know, fruit beverage that doesn't really have to do with giving you more energy. I would drink that, you know, for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And again, you can get $10 off your first order at BuiltBar.com using the promo code LOCKEDON. We'll be right back. Louis DiBiase here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, Eagles fans across the globe, thank you so much for tuning into this edition of the podcast. Louis DiBiase here, riding solo for the day on this Thursday edition of the show. So I talked about segment one, you know, how impressive what Carson Wentz did was in 2019. It was one of the most impressive performances, I think, with some of the hardest circumstances you can draw up for an athlete. And for that guy, again, to take that team that I thought was dead in the water at 5-7 to four straight wins and to make the playoffs, again, maybe 2 to 5 quarterbacks in the league could have did what Wentz did last year. However, there are still some areas I think last year we saw that he can get better. I think number one is fumbles. I mean, the number one big issue for Wentz last year and over the first 4 years of his career has been fumbles. He has the fifth most fumbles ever for a quarterback in his first 4 years, and he had 16 more last year. So that is a really big issue that hurt this team. It almost cost them their season. Week 15 against the Washington Redskins, I think there was 4 minutes left in that game. The Eagles were all tied up with the Redskins, and then Wentz turns the football over. He fumbles in the pocket. He hung in there too long. The Redskins get the ball. The defense luckily holds on and, you know, limits them to a field goal, which allows Wentz to make up for it and drive back down and hit Greg Ward for that game-winning touchdown. But it almost cost them the season right there. And fumbling has been a huge issue with Wentz since 2016 when he was drafted out of North Dakota State. I have a few theories as to why I think the fumbling issues continue. Number one, for the most part, he likes to have one hand on the football because it's easier to escape that way, right? It's harder to twerk your body back and forth and make those daring Houdini-like escapes from the pocket to get outside of it when you have two hands on the football. However, I don't think that was like the main reason, though, because week 15, he had corrected that. He had put two hands on the football because he had fumbling issues, you know, in the middle of the season. I think maybe the worst game of his career was against the Seattle Seahawks last year. And the fumbles kept happening. I think after that game, he made the correction to put two hands on the ball. But then two hands on the football again against Washington, and the ball got knocked out still. I think some of the other reasons are, number one, he's hanging in the pocket too long. There's times where he's hanging in there for 4 or 5 seconds, waiting for something to open up, standing tall. He's a big quarterback. He can, you know, take on the physicality. He can take on the big hits. He's got a big arm, kind of like Big Ben. He can make the throws even in that heavy traffic with a defensive tackle in his face. He can still make that throw. I remember against the Los Angeles Rams 2017, he made a throw like that with Aaron Donald just in his mouth, and Wentz hits Alshon Jeffrey for a first down like 10 yards across the middle of the field. However, there are times where that puts him in a rough situation by hanging in there too long and not getting outside, where he's one of the best quarterbacks throwing outside the pocket, in football. So he's hanging in the pocket too long, I think, and that's allowing things to collapse on him. And it's also, not only is he hanging in the pocket too long, he's not moving his feet inside the pocket. So if you're going to stay in and you're not going to bail out and escape, you got to step up, step back, you know, climb the ladder, as they say. And there's too many times where he gets stone feet, right? I think a lot of the bigger quarterbacks like this, Big Ben, I've noticed covering the Buffalo Bills, that Josh Allen kind of has this issue as well, where they have their feet just planted in the ground, and they're standing tall, and I think they do it because they know they can take on the hits and they can break tackles and they have the arm strength still to get the ball out. But Wentz, I think the way to keep that football clean is to climb up the levels of the pocket and oftentimes climb back as well. And I know he can do it. Yes, he has a tendency to be stone-footed, but I saw in 2017 the pocket movement. Again, I mentioned that Rams game already. You want to talk about pocket presence, go to that football game. And Wentz, I mean, on Monday Night Football, the first game I went to that year on Monday night against the Redskins, the pocket presence was there. So he can do it. And I think that's another way that he can fix those fumbling issues that he's had the first 4 years of his career. Yes, put two hands on the football at times. I think Joe Burrow at LSU showed last year you can still be an escape artist and protect the football with two hands. But I don't think that's the main reason. I think sometimes Wentz last year hung in the pocket too long. In other years, he wouldn't have. And I think when he's in the pocket, he's just not moving his feet enough. It was actually an interesting quote from John DeFilippo that I want to read about that exact thing. Because I think Wentz in 2017, he knew when to sit inside and deliver a throw, and when to bail out and try to make things happen, you know, improv, like a Russell Wilson, a Michael Vick back in the day. I think he was really good at that. And not to say that happened all year with Wentz last year, that he was just sitting in the pocket, not moving. I think when they won four straight games down the stretch against all the NFC East opponents, a key reason the offense got going was Wentz wasn't hanging in as long. They were using a lot more play action. He was bailing out faster and throwing on the run, where he is extremely accurate. This is what John DeFilippo said, Carson Wentz's former quarterback coach in 2016 and 2017. Filippo said in, I think this was 2017, quote, "We need him to use that athleticism and escape the pocket when needed. If there's a throw to be made in the pocket, make it. If not, then we extend plays and use that." And I think that opens things up for receivers too, because, you know, for a, you know, a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, for, you know, even a Greg Ward, and, you know, all the receivers that he had last year, a Josh Perkins, they're not going to be the best route runners. They're not going to be able to just instantly create separation against a Byron Jones, right? There's going to be times where Wentz has to, you know, make plays last and hold on. So those guys have a longer opportunity to get open. And I think when Wentz gave them more time, and I think that's also why he would hang in the pocket for too long last year, to give those players more opportunities to get open. The problem was, is then you have five guys collapsing on you. In the last four games of the season when he got out, he was clear, he was moving, he had the ability, he had the option to run, and then that drags a lot of the defense in and close in on number 11, which opens things up for a lot of the passing targets. So I think that's a big issue for Wentz, was fumbling, but everything I just said there is a big way to fix it, and he already really worked on that and improved tremendously in the final month of the season. Also, his mechanics last year, I don't want to say they were an issue like it was in 2016. Like, Wentz in 2016 had pretty good mechanics for the first, I would say, 10 weeks of the season. But once that losing streak came, I don't know if he was pressing and he was kind of ignoring the fundamentals and, you know, the basics, and kind of just started, you know, freeballing it. But I thought in 2016 his windup got a little too long. I think it was a little too winded back, where there was too much arm movement. It took too long to me. And I felt like last year, there were really strong games mechanically. I think the first 8 weeks of the season, even longer, I would say, he was pretty solid mechanically. He has improved tremendously in that area since his rookie season. But there were also times, and it was weird, I think it started in that stretch against the Patriots and against the Seahawks, where he was in a funk. Again, there was an elongated throwing motion where he almost had this, like, extra cockback in his arm. His arm was too stretched out. It was too windy. against, I would say, and it was weird because it would happen against the Patriots and Seahawks, and then he would correct it, let's say, against the Miami Dolphins, and then against New York and against Washington. Although he played so well down the stretch, I did think his throwing motion got a little too elongated down the stretch. There were times where he kept it, you know, it was quick, it was smooth, elbow high, ball was out really fast, but there was just too much arm movement, I think, if that makes sense, in certain cases. And I think that's where, at times, the inaccuracy was an issue, but you know he can be consistent there because we saw it for a majority of last year. But I don't know if that was just me. I'd love to talk to an expert about that, in that area when it comes to, you know, throwing motion and, you know, passing mechanics. But that's something I noticed, that the mechanics weren't as cleaned up as they were in recent years. All right, we got to hit another break right here on Locked On Eagles. When we come back, what does Carson Wentz thrive in that the Eagles need to continue to emphasize in 2020? Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Guys, today's Locked On Eagles podcast is sponsored by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it is now possible to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there, "How did you hear about us" box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into segment 3 of this Thursday edition of Locked On Eagles. All right, we talked about what Carson Wentz struggled with last year that he can correct. I think an elongated throwing motion would happen at times, not a lot last year. For the most part, Wentz's mechanics and throwing motion has been really solid since 2017 when he corrected those windy throws in 2016. But I did notice down the stretch last year, maybe it was when he was pressing against the Patriots and the Seahawks and trying to make up for all the injuries and the bad receiver play, but there were times where I thought he could tighten up that area. And of course, fumbling as well. Again, the fifth most fumbles ever for a quarterback in his first 4 years. Wentz had an extra 16 last year. I think hanging in the pocket a little bit too long, not moving his feet when he was in the pocket, and using one hand on the football were three reasons that was an issue for Wentz. But I do think that got better down the stretch, and I do think that the ways I described, you know, bailing out quicker, using your feet to climb the ladder in the pocket, and using two hands in the football, like that can, you can clean that up pretty quickly heading into 2020. There are, of course, everything else I think Carson Wentz thrives in. I truly believe he's an elite top five, if not top five, top seven quarterback in the NFL. And there are a bunch of areas that he is elite in. And also there are ways to use Wentz next year that the Eagles need to, I think, get back to at times. They got away from it last year and in 2018, maybe because of his back injury. They need to get back to in 2020, but also things that they do that they need to continue to do and, you know, keep it simple, stupid. Number one, of course, and this isn't something the Eagles can do next year, but let's just talk about this man. I mean, I'm seeing stats thrown around Eagles Twitter every day about how impressive this guy is in the red zone and on third down. Let me just read off you some red zone stats this dude has been able to pull off. He's one of three quarterbacks last year with 20-plus touchdowns and zero turnovers in the red zone. The only other guys are Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson in that category. In the red zone since 2016, in his rookie year, he has 72 touchdowns and only two interceptions. So in the red zone in the last 4 years, Wentz has 72 touchdowns and two picks. That's it. He has a 107.2 QBR inside the red zone since 2017. Only Drew Brees has a better QBR in the red zone since 2017. On third down, too, this guy is elite. And that's why Wentz is so valuable, because he steps up big in the most important areas. On third down, in the red zone, those are money-making situations in football. On third down, since 2017, he has a 105.2 passer rating. Only Patrick Mahomes is better. He has 32 touchdowns and 4 interceptions since 2017. The Eagles converted a franchise-high 45.4% of their third downs last year, which is an insane stat considering what they had to deal with. I think lack of creativity in the coaching staff, of course, Mike Groh, Carson Walsh, even I would say Press Taylor, just I don't think gave Doug Peterson a lot of help, and of course, the receivers didn't either, and neither did the injuries, and yet Wentz in that offense, I think Wentz and Doug are the key reasons, and of course that offensive line as well. The fact that they converted a franchise high 45.4% of their third downs last year is an insane stat. Another thing I think they need to continue to do that, again, I talked about the fumbling issues, and with a lot of it came Wentz hanging in the pocket too long and not moving his feet. I think when they won those 4 straight games, a lot of the reason the offense made that turnaround was Doug Peterson was calling a lot of quick passes, a lot of play action, and Carson Wentz was just playing more loose, and he was scrambling around doing the thing that, to me, made me want him over somebody like Jared Goff. Throwing outside the pocket, and not just running. I'm saying running, you know, scrambling to open up things for his receivers and still throw the football, because he is elite accurate when it comes to throwing on the run. He led all quarterbacks last year in QBR outside the pocket with a 94.4 rating. He had 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions with a 100.6 rating on play action passes last year. And I think with Rich Scangarella coming in from Kyle Shanahan's coaching staff, last year was the Denver Broncos offensive coordinator. They were play action heavy. I think you're going to see a lot of play action being implemented, and I think more RPOs are going to come back, and I think you're going to see the Eagles moving the pocket, moving Carson Wentz, and I think he's just going to get back to doing that on his own, you know, improv, even if it's not like a designed rollout, designed read option, RPO, getting him moving from the structure of the offense and the play calling. I think Wentz is going to, as he did last year down the stretch, he's going to start escaping and taking matters into his own hands. One last thing I want to talk about with Wentz, in that he's way better at than people give him credit for. There's this dumb narrative out there. I think it's dead now, maybe, but I bet you know who I'm talking about is going to use it next year. It's this whole Carson Wentz can't beat good teams thing. He's second in the NFL since his rookie year when it comes to wins against teams with a 10-6 or higher record. He has 9 wins against 10-6 teams or higher since 2016. That's second only behind Tom Brady, who has 11. So, like, it's just funny. I was planning this podcast, and I'm thinking about all these narratives about how he's not clutch. Well, segment one, I rattled off all the numbers about him being clutch in the biggest moments last year of the season. Then you hear he can't beat good teams. Well, last year he went on the road in Lambeau and beat the Green Bay Packers, who went on to make the NFC title game. He went on the road in a tough, windy environment. I was at the game against the Buffalo Bills, who went 10-6 and made the playoffs, and he had one of his best games of the season. Against the New England Patriots, he delivers a throw to Nelson Agholor late in the game to tie that football game, or maybe go for 2 and win it, or send it into overtime. In 2017, to get home field advantage, he goes on the road in LA against one of the best teams in the league, against the Rams, and has a 4-touchdown performance before tearing his ACL. Against the Panthers that year as well, one of the best teams in the league, on Thursday Night Football, he clobbers him. Carson Wentz can beat good teams. He's clutch. He can be clutch against good teams. And all these narratives, and of course the leader narrative of him being a bad leader, just look on Twitter right now. Look how he's stepping up compared to somebody like Drew Brees, who's just been embarrassing over the last 2 years. All these narratives I hope we can put to rest this year in 2020. Because number 11 is an elite quarterback, and the Philadelphia Eagles are lucky as hell to have that guy. And I'm excited where this team is going to go, where he can take them in 2020 with a good bill of health and with a much improved roster, I think, on both sides of the football. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of the show. Subscribe to the show on any podcast platform to get 4 to 6 podcasts a week downloaded into your phone, or head over to LockedOnEagles.com. Also, follow us on Twitter. I'm talking birds always, all day, every day, at DiBiase, L-O-E. That's going to do it for myself, Lou DiBiase. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go birds.